Let's get into the word of the Lord. I've got about 20 minutes left with those who are joining us on television and online. You know what's been fascinating in my life? I find, and this is something I found in myself in my earlier days of my Christian walk, is that many people are in Christ, but is Christ in them? That's why the question for today, or the statement for today, is Him in me and I in Him. Because many people are in Christ, but is Christ in them? You see, the Spirit of the Lord is there, as the Bible describes it, as a helper, is there to lead us to all truth. So therefore, is there not supposed to be an evidence of this truth in our lives? So, if the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, why do some believers seem to be walking in darkness? Darkness. Therefore, I want to conclude with this statement. You cannot walk in revelation without illumination. And you cannot walk in illumination without light. What is this light? Well, Jesus says, He calls it out in the beginning. God says, let there be light. Not the sun. The sun was created, I think, on day four. Day one, He said, let there be light. So if there is a lack of illumination in your life, it's because there's a lack of light in your life. And if there's lack of light in your life and illumination in your life, there is lack of revelation in your life. And if you have no revelation, how can you walk this walk? Therefore, you need light. What is this light? And we know that Jesus is this light. Therefore, knowing that Jesus is also the Word means I need the Word to have light. And if I have light, I have illumination. And if I have illumination, I walk in revelation. John chapter 17 and verse 23 says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them as you have loved me. A lot of people have this thing where they've encountered God. The disciples at this point had walked with Jesus. They had been around Jesus. They had been in Jesus' space, but they'd never been, or they'd never had Jesus in them. It required the finished work of the cross for Christ in them. That's why Peter cuts the ear off a servant. That's why, because operating in the flesh, you heard it mentioned earlier. That's why Peter denies Christ, operating in the flesh, living in fear. But that same Peter who left it all behind and went back to fishing, that same Peter who denied Jesus, that same Peter is the same Peter in the book of Acts who boldly preaches the gospel because of sudden illumination. In my introduction, there were two specific things I spoke of. The word being a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and the Spirit of the Lord that leads me to all truth. But we know that the Spirit only speaks what or confirms what the word says. That is why the two work together. Most people will know Jesus Christ as their Lord, but as their Savior, but not their Lord. Now, to establish this, Jesus will always be, has always been, and will always be the only way to the Father. There is no other way. Now, if someone asks you, are you saying that if I don't believe as you believe, that I'm going to hell? Well, my response would be, I'm not saying anything. The Bible says that unless if you come to the Son, you can never go to the Father. For there is only one way to the Father, and it is through the Son. Yeah, but are you saying, I'm not saying, the Bible says. So I'll tell you what the Word says, and if you don't like what the Word says, then go to the author. As we would say in local vernac, angendaon. It's between you and him. Or in this case, it's between A and B. So I'm going to see myself out. My job is to say, A, meet B. B, meet B. Do you want to meet A? Okay, you want to meet A? Then dear Lord Jesus, come into us. Pray this prayer after me. Now A has met B. Now I'm going to see myself out. Now A may come back and say, hey, dude, I need you to walk with B now. Oh, fine, I'll walk with B. I'll do life with B. But B must be in compliance to A. So Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men which one must be saved. John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way. Jesus is saying this, not John, not Matthew, not Luke, not Paul, not anybody. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the Word is very clear. One way, Jesus. Come on, Faith Kids serving team, you know the song. If you ever saved and served in Faith Kids, you know the song. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could. One way. You're the only one. Hey, I should join the band, man. Yay! They're not ready for this fire. You see, there is power in this finished work of the cross. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, for our sake he has made him to be sin who knew no sin. Stop. Did you know that Jesus was perfect and knew no sin? Knew no sin, but he was made sin, he who knew no sin. Understand this, catch this quickly, very quickly. In the Old Testament, they would take a sacrifice, a ram or whatever it is, without spot or blemish. But that ram without spot or blemish didn't take away the sin, it merely covered. Yet God came down to earth in human form, existing 100% divine and 100% human at the same time, understanding us, understanding where we come from. Guess what? He gets us. But he doesn't get us to leave us where we are. He doesn't just wash our feet. He washes the feet of people and then he says, go and sin no more. That's a subtweet for those who are on social media. He gets us to call us out and say, now go and sin no more. So it's not go and stay as you are. It's go and sin no more. So he does get us, but he gets us out as well. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. For all those who've been taking notes, all the scriptures I'm referencing are going from the ESV, unless if I specify. If I specify, then it's something else, but standard ESV. And it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14, I'm giving you all the scripture to take you somewhere. And you who are dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality. Woo. Why you gotta be sensual? It'll drop right now. I want to slaughter some cows. Why you got to be sensual? Let me put it like this. Why you got to look sexy? Ooh, that side eye you just gave me. You were like, ooh. That was deep. Why you got to be sexy? Why you got to look good? And I'm not just talking to the ladies. We don't need you to see you with your t-shirt off. Keep that on, brother. That's for your wife and no one else. The other girls don't need to see your six-pack. Relax. Okay? Or your dad bod. I don't know which one you've got. Right? Your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature. So it's equating sensuality with sinful carnal nature. How crazy. God brought life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note or the bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. That means if you ever, you know, watch TV, you watch movies, and there's something called an arrest warrant for someone, right? Imagine that arrest warrant just suddenly disappears. You say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my arrest warrant. You were FBI's most wanted. Now no one knows you. Now the enemy is looking for you. And the enemy is going, only my... The enemy is looking for you. Only your soul that I want. You never give me. You never give me. And God walks up to Pharaoh and says, I'll show you with your firstborn. For those who read their Bible, go read Exodus, man. God is like, I'll show you with your firstborn. You never give me my people. You never give me. I'll show you with your firstborn. Right? So it's been blotted out. This note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he sets aside and cleared completely out of the way by nailing it to his cross. Jesus took ownership of the cross. It wasn't the Romans' cross. It wasn't the cross of the Jews. He says, this is my cross. I go on and hang on it. Why? To get rid of the sin of the world. Ownership. He's like, no one's putting me on someone else's cross. This is my cross. You see, so many of us know this God who covers us. We know this God who loves us. We know this God who's there for me. You know, in Psalm chapter 3, we say, many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me and a glory and a lifter of my head. With my voice I cry to the Lord, and he hears and he answers me out of the holy hill. So we know this God who rescues us. We know this God in time of need. Where we're like, oh God, I'm so trapped. Oh God, I'm in so much trouble. Oh God, come through. And God is faithful and just, and he loves you. And what does he do? He comes through. But you'll always be a victim of circumstance. I was talking to my wife the other day. We're talking about some people will live miracle to miracle to miracle when you're actually called to live in divine health all day. You're called to walk in prosperity all day. But all you ever hear is pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. That's because you know Jesus as a Savior, but you don't know him as Lord. You are in him, but he is not in you. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That means that he is in charge now. That means he is Lord over my life, meaning that I play by his rules, not mine. I go on his terms. Not mine. Most people don't know what the Bible says. That's why they live in deception. I mentioned this last week and I said it to the team. It is so sad to watch social media and listen to people say, I'm a Christian, but I also do this. Oh, you know, I just feel that God is fine with me and like this. But he's a loving God. He accepts. No. He's a loving God, but he doesn't accept you as you are. He calls you as you are, but he calls you to something. So many people are concerned with God's called me, pulled me out of the miry clay. And yes, he has. But he hasn't pulled you out. He's pulled you out to set you up. That's why it says that I'm seated far. Some of you have no idea that the word says that. You think that I'm supposed to be seated far. No. Last time I checked, my Bible says, I am the head and not the tail. I am only above and not beneath. But because you have no lordship in your life, but how do you get this lordship? You get into the word. If you don't know the terms of engagement, how are you supposed to engage? How do you apply yourself if you don't even know what the form says? Some of you are trying to fill out application forms, but the Sukhua is messing you up. Sukhua is English, by the way. It's a Sotho word for English. What I mean by that is the language. You don't get the language. You don't get what they're saying. How many of us sat like around family members or in a meeting or whatever with whoever, and then they're talking and you're like, what are these people saying? And they speak in jargon, like acronyms, and they're saying all these terms that work in their industry or in their space or their spheres, and you're like, eh? It's like some of you when you're talking, some of you younger guys in high school, and you're talking, and your parents are like, are you speaking English? Right? And you're like, oh, dad, no, cap, bro. And it's like, I'm not wearing a cap, Manuel. Now, what are you saying? He's like, your dad's busy telling you, you know, when I was young, I used to walk 5,000 kilometers just to get to school. I used to walk 5,000 kilometers uphill both ways. And I'm like, how do you walk uphill both ways? At some point, there must be a downhill. But he's like, no, and you're like, cap, bro. I'm like, I wasn't wearing a cap, man. I was burning in the sun. Because the language. So if you don't understand the language of the kingdom, how do you apply the principles of the kingdom? And if you can't apply the principles of the kingdom, you will always be going from miracle to miracle to miracle to prayer request to prayer request to prayer request. You will always be there. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying for people, laying hands on people. Nothing wrong with that. But you'll always be coming here, I need an encounter. But God says, you've had your encounter. Now I need you to go. When do you go? But if you don't know if the word says go, you always think you have to stay. Yeah, but I read somewhere in the scripture, I saw on a TikTok that I need to be in the secret place. The secret place is a launching place. If you don't know what the word says, how are you supposed to apply what it says? You don't know what you don't know. Hey, that's got bubbles. I didn't see that. Romans chapter 12 says, be not conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. But be ye transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. In Ezra chapter 10, in verse 11, give me two and a half minutes. In Ezra chapter 10, in verse 11, it says, separate yourselves from the people of this land and from foreign wives. Why would Ezra write that? Because God had written in the law to the people, and he said, separate yourself from these people, because if you don't, you will adopt the practices of these people. And the reason it's specific and it says foreign wives, because it's not an issue with women, but it's an issue with a wife is a spouse, meaning an intimate relationship at the deepest level. Why do you think King Solomon fell? If you go to 1 Kings 11, it starts off and it says, and Solomon did what was against the word of God. He didn't do the same thing as David. He had over 700 wives. And what happened? And most of them had foreign gods. So what did Solomon start doing? Worshipping foreign gods, because he had, the Bible puts it in even the King James, it says strange wives. So he had intimacy, relationship with strange people. People who didn't worship God. So if you're sitting around people who don't, hey, some of you don't get this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, Paul writes the Corinthian church and he talks about the type of people you have around you. But if you don't know, you're always like, oh, you're judging people. Why are you judging people? You know, we can have in on God says, you know, it's like when Jesus hung around sinners. Jesus ministered to sinners. He went and had dinner with them, but he didn't take them to the mountain of transfiguration. You wanting to take foreign people to your mountain of transfiguration. You wanted to take foreign people to the altar, the place where you worship. I'm not talking about inviting people to church. I'm talking into your deep, intimate space with the Lord. You want to bring those people in there, and what happens? You end up being sucked out of those spaces because they feel uncomfortable, and they're like, nah, Chomi, you know, this thing's not working. It's not about church or NXT or whatever. I'm talking about private spaces, private conversations, private things. You have a call of God on your life and you're like Joseph, busy telling anyone about your coat of many colors, and everyone's going to bow before you. And then you wonder why you get thrown in a pit.